Hi, this is Kim Katola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Katola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thanks for joining us tonight, and welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio live on this 21st day of September. Fall is at hand, changing of the seasons. And I love it. I love it. It's my favorite time of year. I'm not sure if I like late summer or early fall better, but I just love mid-September on. And it's wonderful to have you with us tonight. You know, as the seasons change, there's something about the issue of abortion, if it troubles you in your past, that just doesn't change. And I know that from firsthand experience. And I'll tell you, I don't ever want to project my experience onto others. My story's so different from some that I've heard. And everybody has a very personal reason for the choice for abortion and thus needs a very personal touch from the Lord. But the thing that never changes is His love for us. The thing that never changes is that, tragically, with every abortion, a child is lost. I had a really interesting experience recently. I was very pleased to be invited to speak for an organization that's a women's gathering for one of our local churches near where I live. And I know that their denomination has a very pro-choice official stance. So I was a little bit surprised by the invitation. And it was, like I say, was very happy to receive it, though. And they just wanted me to tell my story, which I did. And it was interesting because there was not the usual number of give and take and back and forth and people sharing their stories with me. The women were generally much quieter than when I go for that type of gathering. And I said to them something that I think perhaps caused a bit of the silence. And it may silence some of the thoughts that have been in your mind on this issue that we talk about week in and week out, this problem of abortion. I said, you know, in the beginning, I've been speaking out about my story and trying to tell the truth about God's love and His mercy toward us. I've for now almost 15 years. And in the beginning, everyone wanted to know, well, are you pro-life or are you pro-choice? And I would say, you know, I'm not a political speaker. And I would often use the analogy that if you think about alcohol, it's a legal substance. But some people are harmed by it, and so there are organizations like AA. So you would think of me as an organization like that. AA isn't down lobbying at the legislature to make alcohol illegal, but it's there to help people the alcohol harms. I said in the same way. But I said, as you ponder that, who's harmed by abortion, I want you to realize that in every case, a child is harmed. And I could see it was new teaching for some. I could see that there was just plain disagreement. Not a child. No, as I was told when I made that choice, just tissue. A potential child. Not a child. And so I really hope that if nothing else, you leave with a new perspective on that question. Because recently I was also called out by somebody online for not paying enough heed to the children, particularly in proclaiming the message of God's forgiveness after what I most certainly believe to be the sin of abortion. I think I've always been very clear about that. I believe it's very sinful, and it's something that God prohibits. because he says no, we shan't shed innocent blood. But this person was very concerned that by not putting forward words about the anguish of the children whose lives are lost and only talking about our anguish in the aftermath, I was diminishing the value of the children once more. What do you think about that idea? Do you think that's true? I mean, to me, inherent, every time I speak, why would there be anguish unless I knew I had gravely harmed another human being or participated in it? I wasn't 100% accountable. I don't think any woman ever is. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as our program progresses tonight. Our phones are open because we're live, 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. And we have a wonderful guest for you tonight. Michelle Borquez has a ministry to women. She is a dynamic speaker and ministry leader. And she's the creator of the Freedom Series for women, focusing on healing and wholeness after life's difficulties. That's a series of books. And she's also the spokesperson for Beth Moore's national TV special, Living Well, and for the Glow Bible. And she knows the challenges that Christian women face. Her books include God Crazy, Overcoming the Seven Deadly Emotions, Live, Laugh, Love Again. And now she and her co-authors have developed, again, this Freedom Series. And one of the books in the series is called Abortion to Mercy, and that's where we're going to focus the conversation tonight. Michelle Borquez, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim. It's great to be with you.
So, first of all, I want to give you a chance to talk about your God Crazy ministry and your God Crazy events. That's such a great title and a great welcome. What goes on at your God Crazy ministry?
Well, it's a bunch of women who are really crazy about God because they have found victory and have overcome. And there's a group of us, really all together, about over 20 women who are all leaders, who have come together and said, you know what, I want to share my story. I loved how you said they allowed you to share your story. And that's so important because stories are so transformational. And so really it's, you know, when somebody else, when you open your heart and you're vulnerable and you say, you know what, this happened to me, this was my life, but here's where God changed that. Here's where I was able to pursue my healing. Here's where I was able to overcome. Here's the things that God showed me in that process. And that's what all these women do at the conference is they just basically get up there. They share their story. They talk about the lies that they were stuck in, the lies that they were believed, and how that they were able to find victory in God's truth. And it is, I was telling somebody the other day, after every conference, I it's hard for me to even post about it, like on Facebook, and mainly because I'm so speechless at all that God does. It's so hard to put words to. So all I can say is that I've had women say, can I come and live with you afterwards? Or can we just stay here? Can we have another meeting? You know? And it's after 3 days of being together, and I'm just thinking, wow, I mean, that's a really amazing thing that women wouldn't even want to go home after 3 days. But it's so beautiful. I think, you know, we become very transparent with our lives, and in that we really connect at the heart with these women, and we see such a beautiful response.
And so, Michelle, you know, as I listen to that description, I'm guessing that there are serious life issues just as serious as abortion. I'm guessing addictions, maybe domestic violence, probably depression, the worst things that we can think of, the things that probably would drive many of us to shame if it weren't for redemption and the hope that God brings.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's no one that's not welcome, you know, and I think because we have a voice that speaks to these issues, you know, we speak to abortion, we speak to sexual abuse, we speak to loneliness. You know, you don't have to be a woman who's gone through those things to come and be a part of the conference and see God do something miraculous in your life. You could just be somebody who's hanging on to the root of forgiveness. It you can't get it. It's enslaving you. You've become bitter or, you know, just simply you're jealous, you know, jealousy has just overcome you or, you know, but at the same time, it's those things that keep us from really walking out the beautiful purpose that God has for our lives. And so our whole thing is really to say, you know what, yes, these things have happened to you, but they do not define you. God's word defines you and you are made new when you come and you come before the Lord and you are repentant. there is redemption, and he restores you in such a beautiful way that it's unimaginable. So we really come to offer hope to women, and that is my heart. And, of course, abortion is one of those things that I do share about. It wasn't something I ever planned to share about. It wasn't something I ever even planned to tell one person, to be honest with you. But, you know, God has a way of convicting you and really showing you in a beautiful way why it's necessary to be transparent and open with your life.
So let's talk about that. How did that come about? And you're laughing because I'm sure it's just unlikely. Not that it's necessarily, you know, something you think is funny, but I have sort of experienced the same thing. Very reluctant. In fact, when I wrote my book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, you know, that whole struggle, am I going to put abortion in the title of my book? I actually said in prayer to the Lord one day, Michelle, I don't want to be the abortion lady. Right? I mean, you get it, right?
I don't want to be the abortion lady. I don't want to be the divorce poster child.
Right, right.
You know, nobody wants to be that. So.
Well, and praise God, you know, the answer that he gave me was, okay, write about me, which is what I ended up doing, because the story is his story, really, as much as mine. So I understand that, you know, the humor that we find in the unlikely candidates that he selects
he tends to, I know if you were like me, when I came to know Christ, the last thing I wanted to do was talk about my past or be identified with it in any way. I just wanted to clean up as well as possible. I wanted to look great on the outside. I wanted everybody to think I had it all together. And so it wasn't until the Lord really began to reveal to me why it was so important to share my story and why, you know, and you know, when he talks to, you know, somebody that whose life that he's transformed in his word, it talks about just, you know, go and tell everyone. You know, tell everyone what I have done. But I didn't want to tell anybody. You know, I don't want to tell anybody my story. You know, some of it, I was selective. And there was this one night I was preparing to actually go speak, and the Lord just said to me, I want you to share about your abortion. And I was like, I can't do that. I can't talk about that. That's not something I want people to see or to identify me with. And he just said to me, Kim, he said, you know, who do you want people to see? What is this ministry about you, or is it about what I've done in you or through you? And, you know, are you wanting them to see you and lift you up? Or are you wanting them to lift me up and see how that I've been glorified in you? And so that was really such a powerful moment in my life that just really made me realize, okay, what am I doing this for? Why am I going and speaking and sharing with women? What is my heart, you know? And so I went and shared that night, and I had so many women come up to me afterward. Probably I spoke to a very large group, and they were attorneys, which is very strange, but, you know, of all the places that God had me share it. But I spoke to this group of probably about 60, 70 women, and I probably had at least 5 or 6 of them come up, and that's just the ones who came up. I'm sure there were many more that were touched by that, you know, my story. And I have found that in sharing about the details of things that I've gone through, you know, it has opened up the hearts of women in a way that most people can never, ever connect with them on that level, so...
Michelle Borquez is our guest, and it's time for a break, and it gives you a chance to get to the phone and join our conversation. 800-811-3003 is our number. We're live tonight, 800-811-3003. I'm Kim Cotola. You are listening to Cradle My Heart Radio with Michelle Borquez, our guest tonight. Please join us.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
If tonight you are hearing God's voice to share your story for the benefit of someone else, to bring glory to God for what he has done in and through you, this is your opportunity. 800-811-3003. If you're new, please know our ground rules are you do not have to give your name, and you may remain anonymous. You can choose a pseudonym. We understand the need for privacy and that this is, of course, always a very personal story. But as you heard Michelle say in our first segment, sometimes God calls us to speak so that someone else may be comforted, so that someone else may understand the mercy of our Lord and can grasp it because they know that it's happened for somebody else. And Michelle, you know, you say that at some point it became more important to shine a light on the Lord, and the same was true for me. I also experienced a time where, as Cece Murphy put it, I would rather be disliked for who I am than admired for who I'm not. You know, that abortion, I think, served to shore up an image for many of us. Yes, it also protected an economic future with a job or educational opportunities or some other social concern or reputational concern. But, you know, the idea that we would be preserving a reputation which is false becomes just a horrible sell. Even though the door is open, especially when we become, you know, new in Christ, we can just remain trapped in that prison. Talk a little bit about that, about the freedom that awaits us when we become honest, even if we don't decide to be public about it, but when we become honest with ourselves and just one other person about abortion or whatever it is in our past.
Yes, and not everybody, I'm glad you said that, because not everybody is led to go and share it with, you know, with the people. You have to really pray about that, and it's not an easy thing to do, and I prayed about every situation. I recently had to, you know, address putting it into a book, and, you know, I really prayed about it, and it wasn't until the last minute. And it's funny, even with this book, that we just did Abortion to Mercy. You know, that book, I wasn't going to even write on that book. I actually was just going to have Marcy, who's the girl that, you know, who's featured, her story is the one featured, amazing story of overcoming just the things that she had to go through regarding her abortion. She had had several. And then I was just going to, you know, oversee it. And then we had somebody write in the Bible study. But my publisher came back to me, and they're just like, we really feel like you're supposed to write the Bible study. So there I was again. So I knew, but, you know, once I started writing it, I knew I was supposed to do it. And all I can say, Kim, is that, you know, as with anything in our life, any secret, any dark part of the past that we have, you know, the first thing we always want to do is expose it. And whether it's exposing it to someone close to us that we can trust and that's safe, to even to a counselor or somebody that can help you walk through it. I know the biggest thing I see with women, and the thing that I really seek out to be just a person of encouragement in their life, or someone that could be that person that they actually share with, is I see them just wanting to hide that and to never talk about it again and to pretend that it never happened. And the issue with that is that the healing can never take place, and we stay stuck in shame. And that's where I am so passionate, just to help women get beyond that so that they can begin to run free and walk out all the things that God's called them to.
Michelle, tell us your story. What happened with abortion in your past?
Well, my story, I was actually about 16 years old. I had the first time I'd ever experienced a relationship with a boy was through a date rape. And it was supposed to be what was supposed to be an exciting, incredible night. It turned into something that was would mark my life for quite a few years. And a lot of shame would come out of that. And now there's a beautiful story on the other side of that years later that maybe I might mention at some point during this interview. But for the most part, at that point in my life, it was absolutely devastating. And it really made me, I really bought into the lie. Now, I wasn't a believer at the time, but I bought into the lie that this is who I am. You know, now this is, I am marked with something that, you know, I might as well give into it. And I hate that. I hate that, you know, I believe such a horrible lie. And I began to walk out just, you know, what I felt like that meant, you know, which I was nothing and I had no self-worth and no value for myself. And, And so after that, not too long after that, I found myself pregnant. And my father, who my parents are both, I'm an evangelist kid. At the time, they were newly in ministry. And I just, as much as, you know, I knew that I could never face my parents with that information, even though I was not a Christian, even though I had been walking in rebellion, I just could not face my dad and tell him something like that. And so that was much bigger than anything to me, just, and I would say even more than just the whole thought of what an abortion is. And I really wanted to believe the lie that it's not a person.
Yeah.
You know, that was at the time, it was in the 80s where everybody was saying, oh, it's just a small seed. It's not a person at that point. It's fine. You know, you're not destroying a life. And I wanted to believe that. I wanted to embrace that. And that helped me to rationalize and be able to make the decision to go through with it. And so I found myself in, you know, having to face that, and went down and, of course, made the decision to have the abortion. It was an extremely traumatic thing and something that it took me a lot of years. You know, for a long time, I didn't deal with it. I really actually, God, you know, he's so wonderful, Kim, in the way that he approaches us. And it was years later, and I had become a Christian. And, you know, you think, oh, well, I become a Christian, I'm fine now. Really, everything about my life should be okay. But, you know, he begins to peel away the layers, you know, of that we've put up, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the anger, you know, the shame. And this is, you know, in the very beginning of my walk in Christianity, he began to peel away those layers. And one of the first layers, I think, was, you know, let's look at what happened here. Let's, you know, let's find some healing here. And so I was just listening to the radio one day, and I heard these people. It was like I could never hear anything about abortion without getting just physically just so sick and feeling like just like something was wrong, deeply wrong in my, and I would just cry. I mean, I would just cry over it. And so this one day I heard they were picketing something, and I don't, you know, and they were, people were sharing stories, and it was the whole thing on the radio. And I went and I just told my husband, I just said, you know, I really feel like something's wrong with me. I feel like I need to do something to help other people so that I can feel better, you know? So that was my solution. So I went to a pro-life clinic, and, you know, talked to the director there, and she was wonderful. I'll never forget her. She just looked at me and she said, you know, we require all of our counselors, because I wanted to be a counselor. And she said, we require all of our counselors to go through a post-abortion class. And I said, well, I think I'm fine. I mean, you know, I have such a heart for this, and I just feel like this is, but, and she said, well, I know, I'm sure you're great. And she said, but we just want you to go through it so you can be able to talk about it. And the first day in the class, I just remember the first question they had was, what was the relationship like with your dad? And it's really when I began to realize there was like a lot of things that God needed to work on me with when it came to healing. And so, you know, I went through that whole class. I found, you know, tremendous healing in it, and realized, you know, while I was walking through it, just because it began to, you know, just peel away at all the things that I had put over my heart to protect my heart, and it began to open me up to God's beautiful healing and restoration. And that was the beginning process, really, of him showing me his love and his forgiveness.
Michelle Borquez is our guest, and it's time for another short break, but you stay with us, and please do join the conversation with a question or comment. We have one complimentary copy of Michelle's book that we've been talking about, Abortion to Mercy. It's part of the Freedom series, and the series created by Michelle, and this book was co-written with Marcy Schneider, and we'll get a copy for our first caller with a question or comment for Michelle. Please join us, 800-811-3003. Kim Cotola, Michelle Borquez, our guest tonight. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Back live to Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
This week on social media, something really interesting happened. I had a post of my abortion story on YouTube for years. It's been up there probably 3 years. No one's ever commented on it. It's, you know, it had a few hundred views, and that's fine. I wasn't promoting it. I put it out there with a headline just asking, is abortion the unforgivable sin, my abortion story? Because a lot of people who are looking for help won't ever ask a pastor, won't ask their Christian friend, won't ask somebody face-to-face. They go looking for answers online. That was my purpose in posting it. Well, someone came along and put a comment on that, praise God, I was not upset. And Michelle Borquez, our guest tonight, Michelle, I'm sure you can appreciate this, especially when I talk about, you know, how important it was to me to preserve an image. I mean, there's a time in my life when someone commenting publicly about, you know, the experience of abortion in a negative way would have crushed me. I mean, I don't know that I would have been able to really even go on. I'm sure I would have taken the video down. I would have been just broken over, you know, that type of reaction. People's opinions were so important to me. But basically what he said was, I'll believe you murderers when you start, you know, crying about the children. What you're doing is encouraging people to go ahead and have an abortion because God will forgive you. But I don't think Jesus will buy that. That was the gist of his comment. And so I asked people to go and leave their take on his version of Christianity, you know, at the YouTube video. And it was very interesting how people responded. And I'd love to give you a chance to answer that because, you know, Michelle, I've never had that reaction face to face. Of course, this was anonymous. You know, other anonymous people have said things that are, you know, hurtful or ignorant or mean in other, you know, venues. But talk about what that attitude is, and how you would answer someone in defense of a person who is broken over her abortion and not healed, as I am today.
Well, that I actually agree with you. There was a time for me, Kim, that would have just, it would have just really deeply troubled me and hurt my heart. And I'm not, and now my response is more, I'm very hurt for that person, actually, because someone who has, unfortunately, that type of reaction is also condemning and judging themselves. And probably doesn't like themselves very much. Usually I find people that are the most judging, religious type of people and they're so harsh is because they themselves have some dark sin or past or something that they are hiding, you know. So all that to say that you know, there was a time when I let other people or their opinions of me were so defining. I place so much value on that instead of placing my value and who I am in Christ in God's word. And if I lived like that, you know, the truth is I'm not qualified. I'm not worthy. I'm worthy because of Jesus and because of his blood and because of his redemption. And, you know, not to go into all the scripture, that might take some time, but I'll just share one that, let me share something that maybe, you know, I think, you know, one is finally you are no longer a victim. Your trust, your obedience to Christ, your repentance, your love relationship with him has deemed you free. So now I trust in you. So now I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Psalm 25:2. And all I can say is that, you know, our freedom is not a result of our doing or our will, but having faith in Christ, giving our will over to Him, surrendering all of the things that we've gone through, our shame, our disappointment, our unmet expectations, our failures. If I was judged under this person's wrath, you know, then, and you know, I wanted to do that to myself, to be honest with you. I would have liked to found some kind of penance, something I could do to just feel better. And yet Jesus says, just come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, you know, and I will give you rest for your soul. And he says that because our rest is in him, our peace is in him, Kim. And our shame is set free because of Jesus and his blood. And I know that, and that's the most important thing. And if you're listening today, know that you are free. If you have come to Jesus and you had said to him, have said to him, you know what, my heart is broken over my sin. I repent before you, and I am so grieved for my sin. And you have asked for his forgiveness, then you are free. And he no longer remembers that because of the blood that was shed for you on Calvary. And so that alone gives you such a confidence to be able to walk in the authority that he has called you to, in the calling that he has on your life, the purpose that he has called you to. So now today, first of all, I'm sure you feel this way, Kim. I don't even know that girl anymore that went through that abortion. As much as, you know, it's so distant from me, it's so far away from me. And there are moments where the enemy will come and try to bring those lies back up, those lies of shame. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he will try to bring those lies back up in my face. And, you know, I really can laugh at him. I think once you've gone through the dark night of the soul, which I feel like, you know, I was asking some people the other day, have you gone through that? And they said, well, you mean how many times have I gone through that? And I think, when you know, you realize that what matters is what God thinks of you. Because when we stand before him, you know, my heart will be for him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's all that matters. And, you know.
Amen. And I think what one thing I really want to stress for you listening to Michelle so eloquently giving us the gospel there is that three times that I caught, there might have been more, she mentioned the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not redeemed by Christ because I'm special or worthy, or as my friend Tal Prince says, because God has good taste. It is about Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. Yes, God is very angry about the loss of life, the loss of innocent life with every abortion. But God's wrath was fully satisfied in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why when I wrote about this week, I called it a scandalous love. That you mean all I need to do is believe that God is satisfied with Jesus' blood and I'm forgiven? I mean, that's a scandal in human terms in our flesh outside of the understanding of the Holy Spirit. But it's truth, as difficult as it may be to grasp without spiritual discernment. Let's go to the phones. And we have a caller listening in Georgia, I believe. Is Rita ready to go? Are you there, Rita?
I'm here.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for your
Hello.
Patience. Appreciate it. Go ahead, please.
Sure.
You're on the air here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Okay. I wanted to help people with overcoming abortion, you know, bad feelings. And so I went to my local, pregnancy help center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and did the Bible study there, and it was just wonderful. Just wonderful. I developed these techniques, sort of bodywork techniques of like breathing out the pain and the anger at myself from different parts of my body. And I have had a problem with a neck problem for years with not being able to play my cello. And then for about 18 months after the Bible study, I was able to play with no problem, just play and play and play. And my counselor was just crying. She was so happy when she found out. I played for our last session. and it was just wonderful. So I'm similar type of thing where I wanted to help other people and walked into healing myself first.
Oh, awesome. Rita, hold on, and we'll get your address so we can get you a copy of Michelle Borquez's book, Abortion to Mercy. Michelle, let's comment on that, because the song has returned to my heart. I mean, there's so many ways that I could recount being healed. Let's talk about the hope that you have in the aftermath of your healing. I mean, obviously here we can talk about this freely. We're not bound by shame. We have a promise of a glorious reunion with our children in heaven. Tell me about the hope that you have.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I really talk a lot about is the journey to wholeness. And the reason why you, Kim, were not hurt by those comments, and maybe they might have hurt you just a little bit, but you weren't hurt deeply over them because you've walked out your healing. You've walked on that journey to wholeness. And our hope and, of course, our healing is all found in the truth in God's Word. And I lived in so many lies for so long, and I think that I want to encourage your listeners today and those of you who are listening now and who've gone through an abortion, you know, to really understand that it is a journey and that God is patient with us. And you may still feel, I remember speaking one day, and you never know who you're talking to, and this young woman was doing my hair. And she asked me about God crazy, and I began to share with her just about the things that we touch on. And for some reason, I brought up one of the things that, you know, the issues that are addressed are the issue of abortion. And she began to cry. I mean, we're here to get in a salon, you know, getting my hair done. And she just began to cry. And she said, "Thank you so much for speaking to this because it gives me so much hope." She said, "I go to church. I did not tell one person at my church." And she goes, "I walked through this whole thing by myself, and no one knows, not one person knows." And she goes, "And if I told anyone there," she goes, "I regret it so badly, but if I told anyone there, then I would be judged, and, you know, and no one would even want to talk to me." And it's that fear of rejection, that fear of being, you know, having someone say something like what this man posted on your video that keeps women from really wanting to talk about it. But it's important. It's so important. The hope comes from, again, talking about and understanding the truth in God's Word. And I know I keep saying that, but it's so important to know the promises that He has for you, to know what He says about you coming to Him and about His forgiveness for you, so that you can stand on those things and understand the truth, as opposed to the lies that you're believing of saying, "You know what, I'm condemned. You know, I'm nothing. I'm not worthy. Who would do this? Who would, you know, what kind of, you know," I remember thinking, you know, what kind of person would do this, you know, and just condemning myself to the point where I felt like there was no hope. And again, understanding there is no good. There is no good person. It's like you said, Kim, you know, we're not favorites. You know, we weren't just chosen to be forgiven, you know, out of everybody else. You know, we simply came and God forgave us simply because of our heart before Him. And that's not, He is not a respecter of persons. Any person, any man who comes to Him, He will forgive when you come before Him and share your heart with Him.
Amen. This is why it's so important that you get a resource like Michelle's book, like my book, into your hands. We've done the work for you of identifying those scriptures that are most helpful, because I really want to underline what Michelle said. The Word heals us. I spent years in an emotional desert, combing over self-help books, trying secular counseling, talking, you know, to myself, burying the feeling, cycling through this despair and denial. But God's Word opened up the truth that I'm loved, that Jesus paid it all, that God has made provision for the children, that grief can come to an end, that guilt can recede. All of these precious promises of truth from the Scripture truly changed my thinking, which healed my heart. And there's nothing else like it available to you, and it's freely available to you tonight. I pray that you will take this message to heart. Our guest is Michelle Borquez, and we're going to take another short break. Your last chance to call and join us in the conversation at 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003, tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Tonight we're talking with Michelle Borquez, and she's the author of Abortion to Mercy, as well as many other books, and she has a vibrant ministry helping with conferences, the God Crazy conferences, and you can find out all of Michelle's activities at cradlemyheart.org, where we have a link to her ministry websites and her resources as well. And Michelle, in this last segment, I want you to talk about this whole idea of forgiving yourself. There's a little bit of a wordplay that goes on. There's a little bit of semantics that we could argue about, but I know that you have some strong thoughts about this, as do I. And what is this role of forgiving yourself? Let's say that somebody has, you know, they've gotten the scriptures in hand, they've begun to hear God's voice, they know that they are forgiven, they know that Christ paid it all on the cross. They even have had some help with the grief. But as you say, maybe they're stuck in this thought of how in the world could I do that? To me, those types of statements indicate, you know, that there's still some sort of a wound in the relationship to ourselves. Talk about the value of forgiving yourself, or how you conceive of that important step in the healing process.
You know, Kim, that was probably, sometimes it's easier almost to forgive somebody else than it is to even forgive ourselves. And for me, that was definitely something that was, it was very difficult. I lived with shame for a very, very long time. It was probably one of the last things that God, it was one of the last things that God really broke off of my life. And really it was God showing me again, you know, just not basing it on my own judgment, because, you know, in our human, the way we would look at it, if somebody did something like that to us, you know, and that's why it's so hard to understand, is, you know, how could a loving, amazing, perfect God forgive someone who has made such a shameful decision? You know, how can a loving God let go of the sin of my past? And the truth is, God is a holy and pure God, but he can handle our sins. You know, we are just this beautiful diamond with no flaws in his eyes. And let me just share with you just something that God gave me, just a word, picture that he showed me in a time where I really needed to let go of shame and I couldn't. I saw this picture of this beautiful, most glorious diamond. It was flawless. It was so brilliantly shining. And all of a sudden, over this diamond, this river of blood just began to flow over it. And as I looked at it, I could still see the diamond shining through. And it was like God was showing me, and it sounds so simple, you know, Kim, but until we really accept it and receive God's forgiveness, we aren't able to forgive ourselves. And so here I was, you know, all my life I've heard, oh, Jesus forgives you, he forgives you, he loves you, here's all the scriptures. But until I saw this, really, God gave me this picture of this diamond and this blood, you know, flowing over it, and God really spoke into my heart and just said, you know, Michelle, this is how I am able to see you in the beauty of who you are, and to not look at your sin and not to forgive that is because my son died and that blood covers everything that you've done. And it just was like a light bulb. It just woke me up to make me realize that if I'm going to hold myself in contempt, you know, who am I to do that when a loving, faithful God has forgiven me? And so it's really saying, you know what, I actually wrote years ago, one of the first things that God had me do was write out on a piece of paper, I forgive the girl of my past. And I wrote it like 50 times. And, you know, whatever, you know, as you, I would just say, you know, begin to pray and ask God, if you're struggling with that, with forgiving yourself. Ask the Lord to show you directly. You know, what would he want to show you in that moment as you're in prayer? You know, just spend some time with him. And you know the scripture. You know what God's word says. You know that he says that he has given you the forgiveness, that his blood has covered your sin. You know, that he has plans to prosper you and not harm you. He has plans to give you hope and a future. You know, it says in Jeremiah, you know, there's so many scriptures that speak to our redemption and our forgiveness. You know, in Colossians, it talks about he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He took us out of that sin. He took us out of that place of darkness. And he has set us free. And until we truly can embrace that freedom, we can't forgive ourselves. And so it's really saying, Lord, show me, give me the strength, give me the courage, give me the wisdom to forgive myself. Show me in your word the truth so that I will stop believing these lies that are keeping me in bondage, so that I can begin to walk out the freedom that you call me to.
Michelle Borquez, I cannot add anything to that. And I love the image that we can forgive the girl of our past. We, as you said earlier, I'm not who I was. All things, we become new. Whoever is in Christ becomes a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And so accepting who we were so that we can then release it, I think, is a beautiful, beautiful picture. We have about 2 minutes remaining. So I'd like to ask you to close us in prayer, if you will.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lord, I just want to first just thank you for your forgiveness, that forgiveness that covers all our sin, Lord. I know Kim is grateful, and I am so grateful that we were able to come to you and receive that. And Lord, I just pray for my friends out there who are hurting from the sin of abortion, from the pain of abortion, from all that abortion brings, the feelings of condemnation, the feelings of unworthiness, the feelings that I'm not ever going to be able to do anything because I've done something so terrible. Lord, I just pray for that person right now who is being condemned by the accuser and who feels unworthy, Lord. And I ask that you would show this beautiful woman, this beautiful daughter, this daughter of you, Lord, who she is in you, Father. Show her her value. Show her all that you desire for her, Lord. Lord, begin to reveal to her the things that you have for her, Lord, and that you have plans for a future. You are her hope, Lord. Without you, Lord, Kim and I would have no hope. And so we're thankful, Father, tonight, Lord, that you would just love on these women. Bring them your mercy, your kindness, your forgiveness, Father, and let their hearts begin to heal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Michelle Borquez, Abortion to Mercy is the title of her book in the Freedom Series, and you'll find it linked at cradlemyheart.org. Go there for program notes about upcoming programs. You can find a link to the podcast and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes so that you don't miss a thing. We want you to be able to understand all that God has for us after the choice for abortion. He loves you. He is for you. He's not against you. And if he's not against you, who can be? Michelle, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your heart tonight.
Thank you, Kim.
Join us next week. We'll be here. Our guest coming up next week is going to be linked at cradlemyheart.org. You'll find all the program information. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.